hats on.
James chapter 1. We had talked a little bit last week in the midweek service about Christmas memories, childhood memories, different memories through life, and we had talked about some a variety of different memories, different types of memories from childhood, and it was a blessing. It's a blessing to hear those memories and see the smiles and the eyes light up talking about the things that the Lord's blessed us with over the years. And that's something we do have. We have these precious memories of folks that have gone on before us and things that we were allowed to be a part of. And we had talked about gifts as children and fellowship dinners or family dinners, and we talked about caroling and stuff like that. And I'd talked a little bit about, you know, my dad and a gift he gave me, a gas-powered UFO. He always got me stuff that he wanted. And I was probably too young to play with most of it, but I had fun watching him, amen. But we took that UFO out there and started that thing off, and it took off flying out there Christmas Day, Christmas evening, Christmas night. We were just praying that we could find it again, amen, because we didn't know what it was going to do. He just wanted to make sure it would move. But I remember another one. I think it was either the year before or the year after that, I got a little gas-powered van. And it wasn't this fancy remote control stuff. It had a little disc that you'd plug into it. It was a Cox van. Y'all remember the Cox remote or Cox vans and stuff and airplanes? Well, you could plug this disc in and it would run a certain course. Figure eight and turn this way or turn that way. It just so happened there was no snow on Christmas that year. And we lived on a steep hill. So he puts the disc in and fires it up and aims it up the hill. And it promptly does a couple figure eights and a couple lefts and rights and shoots straight down the hill and right down into the storm sewer. So I got to unwrap the storm sewer for my gift that year. I guess, you know, that's all the stuff of this world, that's where it's all headed anyway, you know. But it was a memory that I remember my dad, we had to get pry the lid off that storm sewer and go down and get that thing. But it's a memory, amen. But we've got a lot of precious memories, a lot of gifts. And by the grace of God, we'll look at some things today from his word. And let's pray, and then we'll read James chapter 1, verse 17. Let's pray again. Father, we love you, and we do thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your example of true ministry. Lord, an example we could never attain to, but we should be headed that direction with our lives. Help us. And Lord, help us to not by any special words of man or anything that's going to happen here of man, but through your spirit and through your words, get a better picture of you and a better picture of what you expect from us and what you've given us today. Lord, that we could leave this church building more thankful than ever for the gift that you've given us, Lord. And we thank you. And we ask that you'd bless the service. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All these gifts we've talked about, all these things we remember and all the memories we've had and shared together the last service and a little bit this morning. And the Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want to talk about six or seven, now it looks like maybe seven gifts today. And we're just going to scratch the surface of how God has blessed us and given us gifts. But the first thing I want to look at is mercy. God has given us mercy. God has given this world mercy. Continual mercy. Over and over and over again, we pray for our nation, and we pray not just for God's mercy, but his continued mercy, realizing he's already been so merciful to a nation that has turned their back on him years and years ago. And he's been merciful to save folks that have turned their back on him. He's been merciful to churches that have not been as faithful as they should have, as we should have. His mercy is beyond human understanding. He is a merciful God. And we pray for His continued mercy. And His mercy is not contingent. I like the way one old preacher puts it in Who Runs the Outhouse or the White House or whatever you want to call it, amen. His mercy is not contingent upon that. His mercy is dumped out on this world because He is not destroying this world. That's mercy. He has shown us mercy. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." He's the Father of mercies. And here we are at Christmas time thinking about gifts, amen? Honestly, we have gifts in the seats, and we think about these tangible gifts, these gifts, that are, these temporal things that are going to all go away one day. We think about these gifts, and we're thankful for them, and I'm not making light of any of that. God's blessed us with things that we can put our fingers and hands on and that we can have, and I'm thankful for that. But God expects us to be Christ-like, and part of being Christ-like, as we talked about in Sunday school, is us showing mercy. And mercy, by definition, is aimed towards somebody that's undeserving. And, well, I wish y'all had been in Sunday school. Amen? I really do. We had a good time. The Lord showed up and blessed it. And I'm gonna revisit some of that ground. We're going to replow some of that ground because it's Christmas time. And I want us all to be closer to Him and have a better understanding of what ministering is. And we do have a tendency, as we spoke about in Sunday school, to try to decide who is worthy of mercy, and by definition, that cannot be mercy. If somebody's worthy of it, you're not showing them mercy. Mercy is looking at someone, whether they're worthy or not, outside of worthiness and saying, "I want to be merciful." And that's what God did to us. He looked down and He said, "There are people in a mess. They're without help and without hope, and I want to be merciful." True mercy, just like true forgiveness, comes from God. He is the Father of mercies. Look, not the Father of mercy, the Father of mercies. If He was just the Father of mercy, He would have saved us and took us home. But He continues to give us mercy. And He continues to give us the ability through Christ, by His Spirit, and through the words of God, to show mercy to others. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." God is rich in mercy. How rich are we in mercy? How much mercy do we offer? And you compare that to what He's given us and what He expects from us. How are we doing with the mercy part? How are we doing with that? The first gift I want to see is mercy. The second one's grace. There again, grace, by definition, undeserved favor. It's not hinging on or contingent upon whether somebody's worthy. It's grace. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's a gift. It's by grace. It's all about God looking down at us and saying, "I'm going to show somebody that doesn't deserve any help or any hope mercy, and I'm going to give them what they don't deserve. I'm going to give them grace." And understanding what God has given us, and let's jump back there real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, we want to read this verse because it ties right in here, and it's so important to understand. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That mercy and that grace and that forgiveness comes from a tender heart. And if we have a heart, a true understanding, a true broken heart for what Christ has done for us, a true tenderness, and a true understanding for what He's done for us, we can begin to be tender-hearted one to another and show mercy and show grace. The gift of mercy, the gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." You know what? I never thought about that before, but that's an eternal security verse. Think about it. He forgave you all trespasses. It doesn't say present and past. It says all. Past, present, and future. He's forgiven you. He has taken you out of sin and placed you in Christ, and forever God will look at you and see His Son. He will never see you or your sin again. He's forgiven you all trespasses. And that mercy, that grace, that forgiveness is what He expects us to give to the world, and especially to those of the house of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. So we have the gift of mercy, the gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness. Romans 6:23, a precious verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's given us eternal mercy. He's given us eternal grace. He's given us eternal forgiveness. And He's given us those three things in eternal life. If we could just get our hearts wrapped around, not just our minds, but our hearts wrapped around what Jesus Christ done for us. What God done for us, what He has paid for us on Calvary, the fact that He turned from His own Son and laid the sin debt of the world on His Son, turned His back, let Him die for your sin debt and mine, to show you eternal mercy, give you eternal grace and eternal forgiveness. If we could get our hearts wrapped around what He's really done for us, it'd be much easier for us to love one another. It'd be much easier for us to fervently pray for people that are on their way to hell. I'm not just talking about vain repetitious prayer where it's on our list and we just do it because that's what we do. I'm talking about having a broken heart for the fact that people we know are going to die and burn in hell. That's what I love about our prayer meetings, because we have folks that have specific people on their mind and on their heart every time. And then we have unspoken prayer requests. And they're for folks that are struggling. Maybe folks that don't want us to mention them. Maybe folks we don't even want to care to mention. We know the Lord already knows. And we want to pray for them. God has given us eternal life. Back in Ephesians 4:30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." What a gift. He's given us eternal mercy. He's given us eternal grace. He's given us eternal forgiveness, praise God. He's given us eternal life. He's taken us out of sin, put us in Christ, and He's given us eternal security. Now, I'm telling you, I don't think we understand the gravity of that eternal security. When you're witnessing to people, you'll see the value of understanding eternal security. I have said to, and Brother Jim, Brother Jerry, Brother Matt, all the men and women here that have ever talked to anybody any length about salvation, especially in the jail ministry, you know where you're going when you leave this world. Well, I hope so. I'm not sure, though. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ? You ever been saved? Well, I was at one time, but not anymore. You know, if the devil was not able to steal the thought, the idea, the understanding of eternal security for some people, they'd probably never get back in the cycle. But that's one of the first things he attacks. And that's why we have a Bible. It's not about an experience. It's not about a feeling. It's about truth. And Jesus Christ give us His word, this book. It says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Now look, if I seal something, it may leak. But God's seals don't leak. God's intention when He does something is done. When He shut that ark and He shut Noah in, he was shut in. And we're more sealed and secure than Noah was. Noah could have climbed up on the ark and horsed around outside and fell out the window. You can't fall out of Christ, amen? You know how I know? Some of y'all tried, amen? Some of us have tried, amen? You can't fall out of Christ. You're in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out. Not even yourself, you can't pluck yourself out. If folks would get a hold of that, if they'd quit playing games and quit trying to be religious and quit following the Prince of Pride and start following the Prince of Peace and the Word of God, they would understand that we're secure because of Him.
Right.
You're saved because of Him, you're secure because of Him, and you're sanctified because of Him.
Amen.
He's given us eternal security. Eternal mercy, eternal grace, eternal forgiveness, eternal life, eternal security. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Psalm 12:6-7 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." He's given us eternal words. He's given us this book, and no matter what the devil does, no matter how hard he tries, no matter how hard man tries to explain it away, tries to educate themselves past truth or what have you, this book exists forever. It's eternal.
Amen.
The devil has no power over the words of God. None. The devil has not perverted God's words.
Amen, that's right.
The words of God are still pure words. The devil has no power over this book. It's still here.
Amen.
There's all kinds of the devil's Bibles out there, if you will, little B Bibles, just like a little G God. I'm telling you, they're all over the place, but they're not the words of God.
Right.
The devil hasn't done anything to God's words. He's done something to God's people.
Amen.
He's done something to your view of God's word if you don't believe this book. But the word's still true. He's given us eternal words. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. Man, God's given us some gifts. I don't know about y'all, but when I was a kid, I could not wait to unwrap gifts. Matter of fact, I'm not going to go before Christmas. Before Christmas, I'd shake them. My wife's looking at me like, "You still do that?" I do. I'm guilty. All right, I'm not going to lie behind the pulpit. I don't shake them as hard. I'm learning. Could be fragile. But y'all know when you're kids, if it's under the tree, you wouldn't know what it is. You feel that. And boy, back when the TV, we used to watch TV as a kid, see commercials come on, we go, that could be what's on that commercial. A football. But I couldn't wait to unwrap that gift. You know, God's given us a gift of His eternal words.
Yep.
Some people don't even care if they unwrap it or not.
Yep.
They really don't. And it's not just opening it and reading it to unwrap it. It's praying and meditating on it and letting God unwrap it and show you something and change you, conforming you in the image of Christ. Out of all the gifts we've mentioned, the mercy, grace, forgiveness, eternal life, eternal security, right equal to all those is His eternal words. And we talk about, well, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm saved every day. Are you glad for a Bible?
Yeah.
Are you reading it every day? If you're saved every day, shouldn't you be reading His book every day? Eternal words. And I'm not saying grudgingly putting our time in. I'm saying, God, give me the right heart about Your word, so I can get right with it and I can be right with others. That old thing with, you know, the old preachers used to say, you know, you get this right, this relationship right, and these relationships are right. Makes that sign of the cross. I understand the sign of the cross. We're not Catholic. But if you get this relationship right between you and the Lord, between you and this book, other relationships get right. If these relationships here aren't right, I promise you, it's because your relationship with the Word of God's not right.
Amen.
Amen. And you're missing out. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's look at verse 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." He's given us eternal mercy. He's given us eternal grace, eternal forgiveness, eternal life, eternal security, His eternal words. And don't miss this. If you're here today and you're saved, He's given us an eternal bond that's stronger than any biological bond, that's more sure than any man-written birth certificate, that's more real than any umbilical cord cutting. He has given you a bond, an eternal bond, with the people you're sitting next to. One of the biggest gifts God has given us is to allow us to be a part of His church. Amen. Now, I want to say this. I want to preface this by saying this. This is not meant to be a proud statement at all. But He's given the world a gift in the church. Now, think about this. I'm not talking about us. Oh, look at us. I'm talking about the only thing that has any value in this world today is God's church. That's it. That's it. There's nothing else of any value. Absolutely nothing of any eternal value. The president, vice president, the Constitution, that stuff does not have eternal value. It doesn't. One of the greatest gifts below salvation, after salvation, that God has given this world is a local New Testament church. And we need to take it seriously. I'm serious, because we are oftentimes the problem. And we, by the grace of God, by understanding and realizing and getting a hold of these gifts with our heart, not just our mind, can be the solution. I know the answer is Jesus Christ, but He's given the world the church to deliver the message of the Savior. What a blessing. I was talking to a fellow over in the other side of Ohio, South Ohio, over south of Indianapolis, southwest there. And he was talking about, you know, we haven't really changed anything this year. My wife and I, we don't go a lot of places. We're staying home. We're doing this, doing that, doing the other. And I was thinking, you know, we haven't really changed a whole lot either. We go to church and we're home. I mean, save money because I don't go to Walmart very much. Amen. But we're blessed. What are we missing? What are we missing? I mean, seriously, we get to be in church 3 times a week. We get to have, you know, fellowship dinners and prayer meetings. Same thing we were doing before everything fell off the rails. Amen? Amen. At home a lot. That might be a blessing. Some folks that weren't home much are home more probably. Amen. It might be a curse. I don't know how your spouse is. I don't know. I'm not getting into your kids' life. I don't know how that stuff goes. I'm just saying we haven't been affected like some folks have been affected. You know why? Because our life was pretty much focused on Jesus Christ before. Now, I grant you, we have not arrived, and God has changed our focus a little bit, but we haven't changed a lot. We're still doing what God's called us to do. That eternal bond, the church knit together by the blood of Jesus Christ. What a gift. What a blessing. I could sit here, and I might border on pride saying it, but I'm thankful. I'm glad God put me where He put me. I'm thankful for Gateway Baptist Church, every member. Amen. And I'm sure there are pastors all over the country and all over the world that feel the same way about their churches if they're in God's will. And maybe some that aren't. I don't know. But God's given us a tremendous blessing, not in the name Gateway Baptist Church, but in the fact Jesus Christ will show up and meet with us here. And we have a bond stronger than genetics through the blood of Jesus Christ. What a gift. You know, I preached at the prison for years and jails, and a lot of those guys, some of those guys were young. I mean, young guys, 18, 19, 20 years old, and they had 1-2-year-old kids at home that they'd never seen. Or maybe they'd seen them. And I'm not talking about they made a choice to go off to war and they knew. Right. I'm talking about they've done stupid things. Right. And they end up in jail. And they've got a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, and they'd come up for counsel, and they would say, you know, look, I mean, just as serious could be, broken. And said, I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't. I've got wife, and I've got a kid. This will be the second Christmas or the first Christmas or the third Christmas where I won't see my kid. And my wife is struggling, and they realize that. But you know what the Lord always laid on my heart? They'd say, is there any way I can get them a gift? I always told them, you know, look, we'll see what we can do. Get them something, send them a card, a toy or something in your name, whatever, you know, angel tree, whatever, we'll get them something. But if you want to give your kids a gift, give them a parent that's following Jesus Christ. Something that's going to last. If you want to give your kids or grandkids or great-grandkids or nieces and nephews a gift, give them an example of somebody that's following Jesus Christ. Somebody that they're looking up to anyway, that you could make an eternal difference in their life. You know, the Cabbage Patch kids, they come and gone. Raggedy Ann and Andy, I suppose that maybe they come back around. I don't know. Maybe them and Bell Bottoms. I don't know. But all that stuff comes and goes. But a love for Jesus Christ is forever. And if you can instill that in somebody's heart, you've given him the greatest gift of all. Amen? Yeah, I've got family members I talk to and friends and just acquaintances even that this Christmas won't be with my family, this Thanksgiving I wasn't with my family and all this. Well, how about being an example? A true biblical Christian example of somebody that's trying to walk with Jesus Christ. Not fake, not a Pharisee, but somebody that's serious. You know, one of those guys is a preacher right now, or he was the last time I heard. He was in jail, second time, I think. I think he beat his girlfriend up. I think he finally whooped her. I think she took him out a couple times. They were tough. But he was broken. And he decided he wanted to be that gift, a dad that would love his children the way Christ wanted to love them, that would love his wife the way Christ wanted to love them. And it would be an example, the way Christ wants us to be an example. 2 or 3 years after I'd last seen him, I got that phone call from him and said he was preaching over Chicago. That's a gift. All the gifts the world has and offers, every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above. What are you doing with what God's given you? This Christmas would be a good time to call or text, call somebody up and say, hey, you know what? I love you. Sorry about the past. Get things right. Show them the love of God. Show them mercy. Show them grace. Show them forgiveness. And you know what you'll find out? That you're the one really getting the gift by doing that. Amen? Amen. What are you doing with what God's given you? It's all wrapped up in the greatest gift of all in one verse. You all know it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What are you doing with the gifts that God has given you? It's a ministry. We don't have for us. We have to give to others. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for the gifts you've given us, the ultimate gift, the gift of God, salvation through the blood of Christ, Lord. All these other gifts are part of that gift. Lord, you looked down at us and decided to be merciful, decided to be gracious, decided to love us, the unlovable, people that have done the unforgivable. But Lord, you're an awesome God, and you have forgiven us. Help us to have the same heart toward others. This Christmas season, help us to remember what you've given us, and by your Spirit, your power, and your strength, for your glory, we can give it to others, so Christ would be magnified and glorified. Help us, Lord. Keep us through the day. Lord, bless the upcoming prayer meeting here in just a little bit. We love you and thank you for that gift. Help us to be the Christians you want us to be, to truly minister. In Jesus' name, Amen. All right, well, if you need a break, take a quick break, and then we'll have our prayer meeting, and praise the Lord. And if you don't need a break, we're going to go right into it in about a minute. Amen.